I've just been seeing the Lord do so many great things and in so many of you and in me. You know, we're seeing tangible things that are happening as far as us personally. Our walk with the Lord is beginning to be more than a show up on Sunday and show up on Wednesday. It's more than getting a prayer request through a text. It's coming where we're identifying what the things of God are and what the things of the world are, and we're addressing them immediately. So I want you to know that the Father is proud of you. He's proud of you. So what we need to do is we need to embrace what God has for us. And you know, sometimes that embracing, it does not feel good, but it's definitely something that we need to see. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. But I haven't been up here in a few weeks, and so I just kind of want to give a little quick recap on a few things that we talked about previously. And what Paul was addressing in the community of believers in Corinth is he makes it very clear that there was immorality in the church, and that affects all aspects of the church. Okay? And we have to acknowledge that. In verse 6, the scriptures say that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, we did say that leaven was sin in general, but I appreciate some brothers talking to me and giving me some insight and what does pride do? What does pride do? When you have pride, what do? You swell up, right? Like, look at me. Okay, so if leaven leavens the whole lump, that means that the whole lump is swelling. So where does so much of our sin come out of? Pride. Like, I deserve this. Look at me, what I can do. I mean, all of those type things. So much of our sin comes out of pride. It really does. I want to assert my way because I'm right, because I'm the man. You know, that's kind of the attitude at times that we take, which that has, honestly, for me, that has been instilled in me from a child. Dad, he's a good dude. He's a good, hardworking guy. But he took a lot of pride in the way that things were done his way. And if he didn't do it his way, well, then it was wrong. And I'm sure some of you kind of grew up in some of that same atmosphere. But anyway, so I just want to point out that this is a picture of sin and pride when it says leaven leavens the whole lump. Basically, we must be careful with anything that focuses on us, what we want, and what comes of some of this is just straight out wickedness. So what we need to do is we need to lay this down and we need to get it out. We've got to acknowledge where we're at. We've got to acknowledge what the Lord is doing in us, and we must address it. Later in chapter 5, the scripture encourages us to maintain a strong sense of accountability and moral purity within the Christian community by avoiding close associations with those who persist in unrepented sin. That's what basically chapter 5 was about. We've got to realize that. Now, I've asked Charlie to help me. So where's she at? Come here, Charlie. Okay, so just so that you know, Charlie has been hearing me preach longer than most of you. Okay? Seriously. I mean, how old are you now? 17. Huh? 18 and 2 weeks. Okay, so listen. So when Charlie started listening to me preach, she was like this big. And she wore a little dress, little bows. Don't be embarrassed. It's okay. And it was like 8 years ago that she started listening to me preach. Okay. And so I'm just going to ask her a few questions. Charlie, yes, Would you say that Christy and I care for you and that we love you and you know that we want the absolute best for you? You do? Okay. So if Christy and I came to you and said, all right, listen, we don't want you to get hurt. Would you think that we were being mean to you, or would you think that that was loving? Loving. Okay, so I want you to listen to this, folks. Now, when we come to people, now, do not misunderstand what this presentation is. This is not saying that I'm not saying that Charlie's in sin. I'm using this as an example, okay? So please don't think that I'm pointing her out because she's done anything wrong. Because she hasn't in my mind. Now, Mom and Dad might have other things to say about that. But as far as Matt goes, Charlie is a sweetheart, and we love her very much, okay? So is everybody clear that this is not calling Charlie out on anything? Say, yes, we understand. Okay, all right, great. So everybody's cool with you, all right? Now, but if Christy and I saw something going on, and we didn't want you to get hurt, and Christy came to say, Charlie, my girl, watch out. Would you think that Christy was being mean to you? No. Okay. So this is the thing. So if you see one of your friends doing something that's going to lead to a path of destruction, and you're trying to help them up, like get out of that, this is what it would kind of look like. Okay. So let's say I'm one of your buddies, and I'm down here about to get in trouble. All right. I want you to pull me up on stage. Now, so this is the thing. What it takes is it takes effort. It takes a conscious effort on her part to grab on. And it doesn't look pretty. And sometimes it looks...
Are you okay, by the way?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. But what happened is you saw her and she grabbed on. She's like, I am getting him out of that. And she didn't ask permission. She didn't say, hey, Matt, come up here. She's just like, no, I'm scared for you. And so she reached down because she loves me. And she's like, Matt, get out of there. And so, folks, if someone comes to you and says, listen, I'm seeing something going on. Guess what? I don't really care that you're going to be offended because I see you in a place, going to a place of destruction. Charlie didn't really care if I walked up the stairs or she had to drag me up the stairs. She knew I was in trouble, and so she was going to do whatever it took to get me up here because she loves me. Okay, now, she loves me because we have built a relationship over many years. Many years. And she sees that Christy and I have been consistent in how we love you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the thing is for her to be able to do that with me, it took a relationship being built. So it took time for that to happen. But if you come into our family here, we may not know you as good as Charlie knows me, but just know we don't have any malice in our heart if we come to you and say, listen, I see you're on a road to destruction, okay? And we need more Charlies in the church that are willing to not really care if Matt hurts his knee or not. She just didn't want Matt to get hurt, right? And so this is the thing. So as a family, this is how we're going to approach certain things. The Bible says that it will affect us if we allow sin in the house. So if we allow sin in the house, then it needs to be addressed. Now, don't look at it as we're judging. Look at it as we don't want you to die. The wages of sin is what?
Death.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yay, Charlie. So as we move together in growing, sometimes it's definitely not going to look rehearsed. She had no idea what she was going to do, and she did perfect. You know why? Because she understood the assignment and she did it. So if you understand the assignment and you do it, does it matter? Because this is the deal. We're going to do it by the scripture. So let's just give an example. Let's say Charlie comes, like say Charlie goes to Randy and say, Randy, I don't know how to deal with this with one of my friends. And so she and Randy talk about it and they pray about it. Now, is Randy being an elder and a mentor, and Charlie comes to her and trusts her enough, once they come to a place of understanding and what the scriptures have asked them to do, is Randy and Charlie really going to care about your feelings, or are they going to care about your soul? Okay, so have we come to a place of where we are as a community of believers? We love you. If you get your feelings hurt, it's not because we wanted to hurt your feelings. It's because we don't want you to go down to a bad path. Okay? It's because we love you. And so, I know that these are not easy things that we're talking about. I know, but let me tell you something. There will be not one person in this room that will go unscathed from this scripture we're about to read. We're all going to feel good after the service. Probably not. But Jesus, baby, that's what I'm talking about. And see, the thing, what has happened in the church is the gospel that most churches has been presented has been a people-focused gospel. And these messages has been about people. Folks, the gospel is about Jesus Christ. And we are going to teach a gospel that is focused on Jesus. And guess what? You come alongside. The gospel is not about you. It is about Jesus. So are we clear? So before we get into this, keep this in mind. Paul is addressing the Corinthian believers who were engaging in legal disputes against one another. Instead of resolving matters within the church, emphasizing the importance of reconciliation, humility, and transformation power over the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what we're talking about is you and I embracing the transformation that Jesus brings. That's what we're going to embrace. Because I'm telling you something, there's everything right with going to heaven. But just accepting Jesus as your Savior and you thinking, all right, great, I get to go to heaven. Folks, that really cuts it short. Because the Bible says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, salvation is supposed to be about transformation. So if you supposedly, allegedly have a relationship with Jesus and you have been saved, there should have been transformation. If there has not been transformation and you just put a label on your life and say, I'm a Christian, but nothing in your life has changed, not the way you think, not the way, where your affections lie, the things that draw you in, if that has not changed, you don't know Jesus. Because you can't have a holy God come into your life and it not affect the way that you do life. Your life should be transformed by Jesus Christ. And you should look at things differently. And this is the thing. Can you do anything about yesterday? No, you can't. But what you can do is, all right, today I'm resolved, I'm standing firm, and I'm going to move forward in the transformation power of Jesus Christ and go forward in my life. I don't care what everybody thinks of me. I don't care what friends and family think about me. Today, I've made the decision. The line has been drawn in the sand, and I'm going to step over that line, and I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. And even if that shakes your very fiber, well, actually, if that doesn't shake the very fiber of your being and the foundation you stand upon, are you really being serious? Think about it. Now, We're going to read a lot of scriptures here fairly quickly, and then we're going to kind of roll over them a little bit. But as I'm reading through these scriptures, ask yourself the question, are these questions that are being asked in this scripture to help me think about the way I do life? Okay? Now, verse 1 of chapter 6, it says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unrighteous? And not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things then pertain to this life? If then you have judgment concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. He's basically saying, shame on you. I see what you've been doing. You've been allowing people that are unrighteous to judge what's going on and the matters of your life, and you've been judging things, although it does say in Revelations chapter 20, I believe, that in the end we will judge, but right now, where does all this stand? Verse 5, I say this to you, to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren. Now, why is he saying this? He's saying, well, because the word of God has not been being divided properly, and they're misinterpreting what's being said. And so he's like, listen, I'm not seeing very much wisdom going on here. When we're dealing with each other, I'm just not seeing it. But anyway, verse 6. But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to the law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why are you not taking responsibility for what you're doing? That's basically what it's saying, okay? So then, why do you not rather let yourself be cheated? No, you yourself do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. He's saying, you're standing up here saying, hey, I carry the banner of Jesus Christ, but you're still going to treat the world like the world treats you, and you're still gonna claim that you're different? I'm just not seeing it. That's basically what Paul's saying. He's like, listen, your mouth is not lining up with your walk. Your mouth is not lining up with your walk. Is your mouth lining up with your walk? Is your attitude lining up with your mouth? I'm not going to say anything one way or another, but I know that there's days that I do fail. Big time. But what's cool that's happening inside of me, and I know it's happening inside of you. So what's awesome is I'm seeing transformation happening. You see, some of you, you've been tripping up. You had some stinking thinking. You had some mouth overload. You had some wandering eyes. You had some, not going to hold some things back. But when it happened, you recognized it and you addressed it right then. Folks, you're being transformed by the blood of Jesus. That is awesome. So you should be proud of yourself. Not that you need to go back and revisit your mess up just to be proud of yourself. Come on, folks, don't be goofy. But This is what's going on. So there's good things that are going on in your life. There's transformation power of the Holy Spirit happening. And so, yes, we're moving forward. But Paul, he's addressing these specific people. Says verse 8, no, you yourself do wrong and cheat and do things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So he's basically saying, if you're acting unrighteous, you're unrighteous. And you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. What? He said, hey, there needs to be some reflection, some evaluation. There needs to be some, you need to be looking at yourself just a little bit. Quit looking at everybody else. Worry about your own business. And let's face it, Ray, we talked about it Tuesday night. We got some business going on, don't we? And we got to deal with our business, don't we? Seriously, hey guys, listen, we gotta be an honest people. We gotta walk in integrity. We gotta have some humility. And if we got business going on, Ray, we gotta say, hey, we got some business going on, right? All right, and we all, on a certain level, do. Does that make you a bad person? No, it makes you a person that's being transformed because you're recognizing what's going on. Amen? That's what's going on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, do you not know, verse 9, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Now, this is where our toes are getting stepped on. Neither much fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Well, shoot, we're all going to hell. We're all going to hell, right? But, look at this verse. Woo! This is a good verse. Y'all ready for the good verse? All right. Wipe off your toes. I know there's a little blood going on here. Anyway, verse 11. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. Whoa! That's good. You know what that means? That means if you got some Jesus and you let his blood wash you, you're going to be walking into heaven. Yeah, I'm walking into heaven. But if you have not repented, if you have not repented, you won't inherit the kingdom of heaven. What does repentance mean? Turn from your wicked ways. Not just turn in the original language. It means run frantically from that. Now, does that mean that there aren't going to be days that you're still not going to? Yeah, you're going to struggle. But do you have to? Do you have to struggle? And this is the thing. Because what does the Bible call us to do? The Bible calls us to die to ourselves. And so this is why we need to embrace his truth. Because if we die to ourselves, then our desires no longer matter. That if we have a transformed mind and we look at things that we maybe shouldn't look at, but then it doesn't affect us because that doesn't draw us in anymore. Folks, let me tell you something. Whew, this is so good. I just love Jesus so much. This is what he did for me. And I've told y'all this before. And there's no shame. There is absolutely no shame. There is nothing but gratitude. But I was so addicted to porn. I'm telling you, I just really, really just entangled in it. From the time I was 14 years old till the time, I mean, it was just, ugh. over 40 years of being addicted to porn. But let me tell you something. When the Lord set me free, guys, I'm so free. I'm so free. I can't even think or come up with the websites I used to look at. I mean, literally, if I tried to do a word search, I couldn't come up with anything. That's how he has wiped it clean. I can't think about any of those images don't even cross my mind anymore. Anymore. Listen to this. Anything that was on my phone has been completely wiped, and I don't know how to work phones. Isn't that awesome? That's what Jesus did for me. He set me free. Because this is the deal. When I was introduced to Christy, I said, Lord, I want to be the absolute best I can be for her. I want to be the most pure, the best husband that I can be. And I said, anything that is going to get in the way of me being the best I can be, take it away. Just take it away. And you know what? I did not feel some jolt of lightning. I didn't feel like tingly stuff. My heart didn't beat hard. My hands didn't get hot. Nothing like that. I woke up the next morning and there was just no desire. Just no desire. And guess what? What he did for me, he can do for you. The question is, are you willing to give up what needs to be given up? Are you willing to die to yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to completely transform your life, to die to yourself? So this is the thing. Once you die to yourself, then what you think, what you feel no longer matters. It's about Jesus Christ living through you so that His manifest love can come through you. Now, Jesus did love, don't get me wrong, but Jesus was love. There's a difference between me loving you and then me becoming love. There's a difference. Because it becomes in your very nature, in your very fiber, that you do the things of God. Because He is working in and through you. Now, do I still struggle at times with other sins? Yes, I do. I don't know what it is. I don't know why. But I put my phone on silent, and I'll be out in the field, and I'll be driving, and it's hooked up to the truck. And when it rings, it's the most annoying, loud ring in the world. It's like, or something like a squawking chicken just squawking everywhere. And every time I'm driving down the road out there by University 7, because there's a lot of trucks, so I'm paying real close attention to the road, all these trucks. The phone goes, and I do, and sometimes I say stuff I shouldn't say. It happens. And I said, Lord, please, I don't want to say that. And he's like, well, look for a different ringer. Look for a ringer that doesn't scare you. Well, I mean, what do we want? You know, like a little... Well, that kind of ringer, I don't know if I'd even answer it. It might put me to sleep. I don't know. But the bottom line is this. If you can recognize the things that are tripping you up, address them. Address them. If you struggle with your language, okay, let's address it. Let's talk about this. If you struggle with your thought life, let's address this. If you struggle with just your insecurities, you thinking, well, you just don't know where I've been, what I've done, the ways that I've acted in the past. If you knew all that, you just would not accept me. Folks, let me tell you something. I don't have to, because Jesus does. You repent, and you move forward. And that's what this transformed life looks like. I mean, look at verse 11. And such were some of you. And he just named off some of this stuff that you were involved in, that I was involved in. And folks, let me just point out something. Immorality is immorality no matter what you stamp on the top of it. So whatever immorality that you have been involved in, or you've thought of, or you think you are, whatever, in the sight of Jesus, it's all the same, and the blood still covers it. And so you just repent, you die to yourself, and you move forward. God wants to heal some of that stinking thinking. In fact, all of the stinking thinking that you think, he wants to heal. Because this is the deal. The enemy wants so bad. I want you to think about it. Just look at the progression. God created first what? The family, Adam and Eve. Okay, the purpose was procreation and to fill the earth. Multiply, right? He did it in the animal kingdom. He did it in for us humans. Okay? So, the sole purpose of the enemy is to kill, destroy. To kill and destroy you. So, if he can make it, where society is having less and less babies. Population gets less and less. What's he doing? He's destroying. He's killing. And society is allowing the enemy to win. Because What the enemy does, he attacks your insecurities. He thinks, well, but if I just find somebody to love me, then I'll be complete. Doesn't matter what that person looks like. I just want to be loved. I just want to be accepted. Those are the true things that drive and motivate this world. The yearning for love and acceptance. And if we get that and we're not properly discipled on what that looks like, then the first time that someone pays us attention, oh my goodness, I love them. Guilty. Guilty. Man, I made some lousy decisions chasing being loved and accepted. You see, this is the thing about sin. It always, always, always takes you deeper than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you way more than you want to pay, I promise you. And folks, let me tell you something. If things have been done to you, people need to be held accountable, but the reality is don't carry the guilt and shame if something has been done to you. Just, I know it's difficult, I know it's hard, but I'm telling you, even in that situation, God can do a work. You know, it's interesting, and anybody that's been a victim can relate with this. It's interesting because you know how, well, for me, I think, okay, so I've dealt with it, I've forgiven, I've laid them at the foot of the cross, right? And you'll be trucking along and everything's fine, and then something happens and you're like, oh man, I want to kill that person. I don't know. Hey, if you don't have those thoughts, good for you. But your pastor does sometimes. Your pastor does, and I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to be more mature than this. I'm supposed to, you know, but the enemy does whatever he can do to drag up the old memories and all those things, and guess what? That's why we deal with a daily dying to self. A daily come to the Father and say, I need you. A daily feeling. There is one salvation, but there's many feelings. And guess what? Sometimes you need a different feeling. Sometimes you need a fresh feeling. But as you read this verse 11, it's so absolutely beautiful. And such were some of you, but you were washed. by the blood of Jesus. You were sanctified by the blood of Jesus, but you were justified by the blood of Jesus in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He came in and he did a work in you, but this is the deal. You have to allow that because he is the perfect gentleman. He's not going to force his way into your life and make you do anything. He wants you to step up to the plate. He wants you to embrace the truth that he has for you. He wants you to be transformed by him. And understand that this Bible is not about you. It's about him. And through his word, you will be transformed. So if you're sitting there and you're thinking, wait a minute, I don't feel like I've been transformed. Well, first of all, the fact that you're here means that, well, I guess it could be two things. Either you were made to come or you're just here. And if you were made to come, this is the deal. The creator of the universe wanted you here. He wanted you to hear the truth. If you're here, then that means that you just came on your own accord. That means that you had a desire in your heart. So the ground is fertile for transformation. But Matt, I don't know where to start. I don't know how to start. I don't know even where to begin. Well, the fact that you've asked the question shows desire, and the Father will honor that. So if you're just sitting there, just like, I don't even know. Well, start in John 1:1. Just start in John 1:1, and just start reading through. And if you have questions, I bet you if you texted Tim or Brandy or Brad or Randy or me or Christy or Amy or Chris or Lewis and Patty or Katie and Ray. I mean, if you texted any of us, we would be so excited to get that text from you. And if we didn't know the answer, you know what we would say? We don't know the answer, but we'll get back to you. Thank you so much for texting me. You see, this is the deal. If I don't know that Jess is thirsty, how can I take her something to drink? I mean, I could just go up and say, hey, you want a Dr. Pepper? I can do that. And she's probably going to be like, well, yeah. You know, she's probably going to give that cute little smile that she does and throw her hair. And like, yeah, you know. But the thing is the chances of me just walking up and just saying, hey, I bet you're thirsty. I mean, no. But if you want something to drink, all you got to do is ask. If you're hungry, all you got to do is ask. I will take you to McAllister's and get you a sandwich if you're hungry. Let's go. But from a spiritual perspective, everybody hold your fist up. Pump it. Say, let's go. You hungry? Let's go. Come on, spiritually, we've got to make the effort because I'm telling you, you're not going to catch it by osmosis. You're not going to. You can't throw your Bible underneath your pillow and sleep on it and think, give me some Jesus. I mean, you could maybe have a dream, but you're not going to know anything about that dream unless you know the truth. So, embrace the truth of the Word of God. Embrace the transformation that is coming if you will go after it. And in the morning, in the name of Jesus, help them remember this. In the morning, you're going to wake up and you're going to say, let's go, Jesus. Let's go. Teach me something. Let's go. And so when you do that, you're going to get a grin on your face and you're going to say, Matt said I was going to remember that. And I can see Jordan. She's going to do it. She's going to, let's go. I can just see Jordan. She's going to be laying on her back. She's going, yeah. I can just see Jordan laying on her back. She's going to give it, let's go. And so what I'm telling you, GMF, family, let's go. Let's walk in the Father and be transformed. And you're like, I don't know how to walk, so let's crawl. You're like, oh, I don't know how to crawl. Just sit up. You're like, but I don't know how to sit up. Okay, lay there and call out to Him. He will answer your prayer. Let's go. Let's go. If anybody wants to be prayed for, please come up. If anybody just needs to pray, come up here, because guess what? He wants to heal you. For those of you that have been recognized where you need to change, I'm proud of you. For those of you that have been transforming, I'm glad you've joined me. Because some days it's hard. But He sees you. He has not forgotten you. And the Word says you are more than conquerors. So, let's go. Let's get it. It's way past playing games. Game time. Precious Father, if there's anybody in this room that needs a touch from you, Father, wants prayer, Father, I pray that they would have the courage, that they would come down and allow us to pray for them, Father. Lord, if anybody needs healing, that they would come and ask for it. I feel like that there's somebody in the room that their left shoulder is bothering them. Please come down and allow us to pray for you so that you are healed. Feel like that there's someone that feels like that they're on the brink of a migraine headache. You need to come down and get prayed for also. Lord, I love you so much. I thank you for the word that you gave through Sister Sonia this morning. I believe that that word will be manifested. And we will see that come to fruition. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We can't wait to see what you're going to continue to do. Lord, transform us all this week. Help us to all walk in transformation. Allow you to sanctify us through your word and just through visitations, Father. Now, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, that I pray. Amen.